I'll be reading from Proverbs 23, verse 29 through 35, the English Standard Version. Who has woe, who has sorrow, who has strife, who has complaining, who has wounds without cause, who has redness of the eyes? Those who tarry long over wine, those who go to try mixed wines, do not look at the wine when it is red. When it sparkles in the cup, it goes down smoothly. In the end, it bites like a serpent and stings like an adder. Your eyes will see strange things, and your heart utter perverse things. You will be like one who lies down in the midst of the sea, like one who lies on the top of a mast. They struck me, you will say, but I was not hurt. They beat me, but I did not feel it. When shall I awake? I must have another drink.
Good evening. Good to see everyone. Hope you're feeling well. It's really good to see you. We have visitors with us, and always good to have visitors, and stick around, let us get to know you a bit better, if you would, and come anytime you can. A couple of things before we get into the lesson. One, I need a volunteer to take communion to one of our sisters in Christ at NHC, which is just around the corner up on the hill. And if you would be glad to do that, come see me after we are dismissed, and I'll give you the particulars. Shouldn't take you very long, a few minutes at the most, and you'd be doing a great service to her, and I know you would be blessed as well. So let me know if you can help out with that. Also, found out this morning that Kay Napier fell Thursday night while walking a dog and broke her wrist. She had surgery on Friday to put a plate in and some screws and all of that, and is at home. She was not hospitalized, but we do need to remember her in prayer. So keep Kay Napier in your prayer, as well as Bob Patton, who will be undergoing hip replacement surgery tomorrow. Pray that all will go well with that. And prayers are great. This morning we saw Heidi Elliott with us in worship. And she just had her heart ablation on Wednesday, I believe. So keep on praying, because the Lord often does what we ask. And if he doesn't, there's good reason for that. But now let's get our Bibles out. I hope you've got your Bible and that you will open up with me and follow along in these passages. And let's see what the Lord has to say. I found on the internet an article that had been carried in the London newspaper, The Telegraph. And it had a story about a man in London who was trying to go down an escalator into the subway. And they don't call it the subway, I've forgotten, the tube or tunnel, something like that. But he spent about 2 minutes going down the escalator and made no progress, because he was going down the up escalator, bumping into people as he went, and of course he was under the influence. Eventually somebody pushed the stop button, guided him in the right direction, and got him where he needed to go. Well, this was one of 10 stories in this particular article entitled 10 Hangover Nightmares, Those Who Live to Regret the Night Before. Well, it's not hard to find stories like that, is it? It didn't take me but a minute or so to find that story, and they are prevalent on the internet. Some of them are just amusing, like that one. Some of them tragic, absolutely tragic. And we see that's what substances like alcohol and drugs can do to a person. Now, there's a lot of lessons to be learned from this point. The idea that when we are under the influence of something like that, we will do things that we would never have considered doing otherwise. There's a lot of lessons that we can draw from that, even if we're not the kind that would take alcohol or drugs. And so let's look at that. And it may surprise you, some of the lessons that we're going to find. So let's talk about being under the influence. First of all, there are bad influences in the world in which we live. You know that. It is obvious. And the place I'll start is where we heard the reading from this evening, Proverbs 23. There is the obvious, and that is alcohol and drugs. Now, drugs per se are not mentioned in the Bible, but alcohol is a drug. And so it's in that same genre. But look again at what it says in Proverbs 23. We'll not read the entire passage that Alvin read, but look at verses 31 through 33. Proverbs 23, 31 through 33. Do not look at wine when it is red, when it sparkles in the cup and goes down smoothly, or, in other words, the television commercials. Don't look at that. That's the selling point. That's the nice part. But it goes on to say in verse 32, in the end, it bites like a serpent and stings like an adder. Your eyes will see strange things and your heart utter perverse things. That's the after. The before is what you see on television. Everyone is cool. Everyone is young and having fun. It's a great life. The after, the reality, is that this is going to happen. Bad things follow. And that's the influence that you're under. Proverbs 20, verse 1 is a similar statement, but I want you to look at what it says there. Proverbs 20 and verse 1, wine is a mocker. It mocks you. Strong drink, a brawler. And whoever is led astray by it is not wise. Now notice it says, it will lead you astray. And if you fall for the sale, then you're not wise. You have been duped. You have been hoodwinked. You're being led by a bad influence. And have you noticed that even the companies that make beer and wine and all of that, they will frequently now have commercials that will say, please do not drink and drive. Now, are they really trying to slow down the sales of their product? Of course not. That's there simply for liability purposes. If you try to sue them for all the damage that came along, well, we told you not to do that. But they're still trying to sell their product as much as possible. And so we know there is a bad influence there. And that's why there are charges that say driving under the influence or driving while intoxicated. The idea is you should not have been under that influence while you were driving. I would add, or doing anything. Yes, I am a teetotaler, and I'm proud to say so. But let's talk about some other influences that threaten Christians. That's just that part that we all kind of agree on. There's a lot of other influences in our world that we need to be on alert for. For example, Matthew 16 and verse 6. Matthew 16 and verse 6. Jesus on this occasion was talking with his disciples. They were in a boat on this occasion, I believe. And he made this statement in Matthew 16 and verse 6. He said, watch and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. And unless you, you surely are not thinking, well, it was a bad product. The leavening that they were selling must have been messed up and there was a recall. No. He's talking about their influence, their hypocrisy. Don't be like them, he says. They look holy, they look like they are authoritative, but beware of their leaven, their influence. And that's still the case today, isn't it? I mean, there are people that by their words might convince you, oh, they are holy, they are religious, we ought to follow them. But check them out. Make sure they're really telling you the truth. Don't just go by the warmth of the message, by the eloquence of their speech. Instead, make sure that they're telling you the Word of God. That's a bad influence. Think about 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 33. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 33, and this is about as general a statement as you can find, and it sums everything up. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 33, where Paul says, "Do not be deceived. Bad company ruins good morals." And we see that all around. That's why we try to encourage our children, don't hang around with the wrong kind of friends. Make the right kind of friends, because some people will lead you in a direction you don't want to go, you shouldn't go, and therefore just know that can happen. And that's what the Bible says. There are influences in our world that are wrong, that are bad. We need to be aware of those and keep our distance. In 3 John, we find an actual example of this. 3 John, verses 9 through 11, it's in chapter 1, by the way. 3 John, verses 9 through 11, and here John is talking about a man in the church there where he is writing, and he says, "I've written something to the church, but Diotrephes, who likes to put himself first, does not acknowledge our authority. So if I come, I will bring up what he is doing, talking wicked nonsense against us. And not content with that, he refuses to welcome the brothers and also stops those who want to and puts them out of the church." Now, that's a bad influence. How do you know? Well, look at what he says in verse 11. "Beloved, do not imitate evil, but imitate good. Whoever does good is from God. Whoever does evil has not seen God." And why did he say that right there? Because Diotrephes is a bad influence. He is not behaving like a Christian should. And therefore, Paul says, don't pay attention to him. Don't fall in line with him, even though he may seem like the authority, because his influence is all wrong. And then one other passage, again, a very general statement. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 6. 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 6. Where Paul says this, "Your boasting is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump?" And again, we've talked about this image a number of times, how you can take a lump of dough and it takes just a small amount of yeast or the sourdough that you may have in that jar in the refrigerator, just a small amount is going to infiltrate. It will affect the entire lump of dough. Well, is Paul telling us how to make bread? No. He's saying, be aware that just a small amount of bad influence can have a really bad effect on your entire life. So be careful what you're kneading into your life. Make sure it is a good influence and not bad. So what we have found thus far is that the influences that threaten us may be religious. They may be more secular. There's a lot of different kinds out there in the world. And that's why we need to continue to know the will of God, study the will of God, acquaint ourselves with the will of God, so that when these bad influences come along, we can detect them very quickly. We know this is not right. So now let's talk about the right kind of influence. The right kind of influence for Christians. And I'd like to start in James chapter 3 to do that. James chapter 3. And in this passage, we don't find the word influence, at least not in my translation. And yet that's what it's all about. It's about wisdom. Living life with the right kind of wisdom. James chapter 3, and we're going to begin reading in verse 13. The question is posed. Here is the challenge in verse 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? Well, how do we know? Well, here it is. By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. And have you ever met somebody that says, well, you know, I don't have any wisdom. You know, I'm just kind of foolish. Well, those are few. There probably are some like that. But most people say, well, I'm living the life I live because I know what I'm doing. I'm wise. James is challenging that. And he says so beginning in the next verse, in verse 14. If you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. Now, is it possible for a Christian to have jealousy, selfish ambition? Absolutely. It's one of those things we can hide, we think. We can hide it in our hearts, and nobody really knows. I mean, I'm so jealous of that person, but I'm going to put on a good front. I'm going to smile. I'm going to be polite to them. They won't know that I'm jealous. But God knows, and you know. And he says, if you have this jealousy, this bitter jealousy and selfish ambition, do not boast and be false to the truth. He says in verse 15, this is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. Wow, I thought it was just jealousy. I thought it was just ambition. It is demonic. That's where it all comes from. And if we harbor these things in our hearts, where did we get that? Are we following a good influence or the world's influence? He says in verse 16, for where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. It is the beginning of a lot of problems. And yet we tolerate those kinds of things. We think, well, you know, I'll still be a Christian, but I'll keep that ambition, that selfish ambition in my heart, and that bitter jealousy, well, you know, I won't show it, I just feel it. He says, if it's in your heart, you don't have the kind of wisdom that God wants you to have. And that's influence. Well, what do we do then? Look at verse 17. The wisdom from above, the wisdom from heaven, we can easily see that's what he's saying. The wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Now, is there any doubt which of those lives James is commending? Of course not. It's very clear. If you are the kind that has bitter jealousy, selfish ambition in your heart, you're not living the kind of life God wants you to live, even though you hide it from most people, if not all people. You're not hiding it from God. You're not hiding it from yourself. And so what we need is this wisdom from above, this influence from above, and look at all the good things that come from it. I thought these comments by N.T. Wright and his commentary on this passage is worth reading. It's fairly short. Let me share it with you. N.T. Wright says it would be worth spending the time to work through the words in this list one by one. Now, he's talking about the words in verse 17. Look at them again. Pure, peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy, good fruits, impartial, and sincere. Those are the words he's talking about. So he said it would be worth spending the time to work through the words in this list one by one. Do it slowly. Review your life in the light of them. You might want to make a note of the times, the places, and particularly the people that make it hard for you to live in this way. And then to pray for strength and for this wisdom from above to hold firm when the challenge comes round once more. And you see, it's all about influence, isn't it? The influence of God's wisdom will make such a difference in my life. Now, if I'm operating under the world's influence, just like with alcohol and drugs, I'm going to do things I would not otherwise do. But if I'm operating under God's influence, look at the good that will come from it. Well, then how do we get that kind of wisdom? That wisdom from above. James doesn't talk about that. He says we need to be guided from the wisdom, by the wisdom from above. But James, how do we get that? Well, he actually did say something earlier in the book. Go to James 1. James chapter 1 and verse 5, and there's this statement. James chapter 1 and verse 5, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. And I think there's something to be said there about those special moments in our lives where I might say, Lord, should I make this decision or should I go this way in my life? The Bible doesn't say, Lord, can you give me that wisdom? And I think somehow God will answer that prayer. But there's another sense in which God gives wisdom that's already in the Bible. Let me show you what I'm talking about. We turn now to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, look at verses 23 and 24. 1 Corinthians 1, 23 and 24, where Paul says this. He's talking about his message that he has been preaching in Corinth and everywhere. He says, we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles. And that simply means that the Jews said, you're telling me that Jesus is God in the flesh and he died? No, no way. And that was a stumbling block for them. And for the Gentiles, they would say, your God was put to death? Yeah, right. It was foolishness. And yet Paul says, that's exactly what we're preaching. We don't apologize for that. Verse 24, but to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. The wisdom of God. He's saying, if you want to see the wisdom of God summed up in a life, look at Jesus. He is the wisdom of God. Go down to verse 30 in the same chapter, 1 Corinthians 1, verse 30. He says it again. Because of him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption. So if I want wisdom to guide me, to influence me, I look to Jesus. I study him. I listen to him. I follow him. That's under the right influence. And it's like Paul says in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And if we can reach that point, if we can say, Christ is who lives in me, then we will be under the right influence in every situation in life. Because we're looking to him, we're saying, in effect, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus say? What would Jesus think in this situation that I find myself? And these words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 33, which may make you say, wait a minute, we saw something different earlier. Matthew 13 and verse 33, Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven that a woman took and hid in 3 measures of flour till it was all leavened. Now, if I recall, Paul in 1 Corinthians 5 said we're to get rid of that old leaven. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. He went on to say in the verses that followed, purge yourself of that leaven, and it means sin in that setting. Is Jesus saying here that the kingdom of heaven is like putting sin into your life? Of course not. He's saying that the good influence is like leaven. And the little bit that we pinch off and put into our heart when I open the Bible to have my 10-minute, my 15-minute devotional, that's going to go a long way. And over time, it will permeate my life. That's how Christ lives in me, is by partaking of him, the bread of life, on a regular basis. And so we take this good influence that we see in Christ, that we see in the Word of God, and we knead that into the dough of our lives. We deliberately add it into our lives and work it in, and that's living under the right influence. Let me close with one other passage of Scripture. Matthew 6, verses 22 and 23. Matthew 6, 22 and 23. And this may be one of the more practical ideas that you can take home and actually start living by. If you aren't already, I hope you are. Matthew 6, beginning in verse 22, where Jesus said, "The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness?" Well, how's that practical? It means, what am I looking at? What do I choose to let into my heart? And if you turn on the television tonight, what channel do you go to? What program do you enjoy watching? If you're on the internet, where do you go? Because that's how the eye is either good or bad. We're either letting in light or darkness. We're either letting in the good influence or the bad influence. And it's not hard to know which is which. Walt Disney, he lived a long time before the things we're living in now, said movies can and do have tremendous influence in shaping young lives in the realm of entertainment toward the ideals and objectives of normal adulthood. He said that before the movies of our day came out, because many of them, not all of them, but many of them, do not promote normal adulthood. Every day we're driving this vehicle called life. And every day we are driving under the influence. But which influence? We choose. It is our choice. And if you say, "Well, I'm not choosing," then that is your choice to let the world choose for you. It is your choice. But knowing what we know based on these passages we've looked at, what seems right to you? Maybe a lot more focus on the light. If you're not a Christian, that's where you need to begin. Coming to the light, obeying the simple plan of salvation. Believe Jesus is God's Son. Repent of your sins. Confess Him before this group tonight and for the rest of your life. Put on Christ in the act of baptism and wash away all your sins. Simple. Takes moments to do. But it's an eternity of blessings that follow. And if you've done that, have you been faithful? Have you been walking in the light? Have you been focusing on that which is light? Or has way too much darkness flooded into your heart? You may need to repent and ask for forgiveness. If we can help, come as we stand and sing.